Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Coordinator Emily Elliott, she's going to be sharing the word with you today. Why don't you stand to your feet and give her a big round of applause as she comes to the stage. And I'm going to take a moment just to brag on her a little bit. So not only does Emily lead an incredible children's ministry here at Port Kennedy campus, but she's also the statewide kids coordinator for Nations Church. So yes, give her a big round of applause. It's amazing. And what I shared with you today about Playgroup and also our Heroes Academy, mega play dates. I'm getting my words mixed up. And our Heroes Academy program that functions out of our kids ministry on Sunday all happens because of Emily's leadership in this house. She's an incredible leader, but she's also an incredible communicator. She communicates the word so brilliantly. And I just know that as she shares with you today that you're going to be incredibly blessed. So why don't you give her a big round of applause, and I'm going to hand it over to you.
Thank you, Pastor Mel. You can all take your seats. Oh, yes, your phone. Before I get started, I just want to honour Pastor Mel and Mark. We're talking about Next Gen Sunday, right? They are the kind of people who legitimately believe and empower the next generation. I'm not talking about myself at the ripe old age of 34, but the kids, the youth, they believe in them. Like, I see constantly both of them, Pastor Mel and Mark, you know, on their knees chatting to a young person, or, you know, chatting to the teenagers on a Friday night. At our Heroes Mega Playdates, they're serving alongside the kids. At Playgroup, Pastor Mel's picking up the equipment after the kids have made a right royal mess of the place. They believe in and they put their hands to the plow for our next generation. So we are so grateful for you guys, because without you, none of that would be possible. All right. So, as Pastor Mel said, my name is Emily. I'm the kids coordinator here. My husband Dan and I and our two kids have been coming to Nations Church since we moved to Perth in 2018. So about just over 5 years now, and we are so grateful to be part of this house. As many of you know, I have the privilege of overseeing our kids ministry, and God is moving in that space. My son Archer shared before about Encounter Sunday, some of the things God had done. And I just want to share a little bit more, if that's okay. Yeah. So we had this Sunday that we set aside for kids to encounter the presence of God. And to be honest, he totally exceeded our expectations. He ministered to kids in ways that I didn't even think were possible. We had one child experience a vision of an angel taking away his bad dreams. Another young girl said that God had spoken to her about the way that she was called to teach other people about Jesus. We had a little preschool age boy run to his mum at the end of the service and say, "Mom, I know how much Jesus loves me now." Yeah, I know, so beautiful, right? And then one of my teenage volunteers, while she was serving, so she's giving out in this moment where we just ask the kids to be still and to hear from God, she was given her first ever vision from God for herself. God is beautiful. We've actually had nearly 20 kids give their hearts to Jesus this year alone in our jump program. And we're also seeing kids rise up in their giftings. In April, we had a bit of a next-gen takeover up in our primary age program, and we had kids leading their peers in praise and worship. We had them sharing around the verse Ephesians 3:20. We had them praying for one another, and they just really came alive with the opportunity to share what God had been doing in them personally. You see, our next generation is hungry for the things of God. They are hungry to see him move, and they are hungry for the new thing he is bringing forth. But I have to ask you, church, what about you? You hungry too? Because the next generation doesn't sit in a silo. We are part of one church with one mandate, serving one God, and we want to see his purposes come to pass. When I think of the hunger of the next generation, I'm reminded of David in the story of David and Goliath. I know, how ironic, the kids leader talking about David and Goliath, but bear with me here because I believe that God wants to speak to us through this passage of scripture. So we find this account in 1 Samuel 17, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to summarize a little bit. As many of you know, Goliath was a giant from the Philistine army, and each and every day he came out and taunted the Israelites. This went on not for one, not for two, but for 40 days. He came out there and said his taunts, and the Israelite army were paralyzed in fear. They were so intimidated that they could not act. Now, David, he wasn't yet part of this army. You see, he was the youngest brother of eight. Are there any younger siblings out here? Yes, Dan is the youngest of four. Anyone the youngest of eight? No. Okay, so David had it the worst. So he wasn't on the battlefield. He was left to tend to the sheep. And one day his father asked him to take some bread and some cheese to his brothers on the battlefield. And so off he went. But you see, when David got to the battlefield, he saw what Goliath was doing, and something rose up within him. He was not okay with the people of God being intimidated. He was not okay with them being paralyzed in fear. He was stirred to act. So we're going to pick up the story here and see what David does in 1 Samuel 17:26. So David hears about what Goliath's doing, and he says, outraged, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He was moved to take action, and he actually went and said, "Right, what can I do?" In verse 28, we see his brother's reaction. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You see, David was young. He was inexperienced, but he knew the goodness of God. And that prompted him to step into the more that God had for him, to step into something new and see God move. God is doing a new thing in our church. In fact, I believe he is doing a new thing in the church across the planet. Yeah. Isaiah 43 verse 19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." As I was preparing, I really believe this is a prophetic declaration over our house right now. Yes. Over Vision Weekend, it was prophesied that revival would be birthed out of our kids and youth ministries. Right. We are about to head into our conference, which if you haven't registered, get registered, because I believe people are going to experience the presence of God like never before. He is going to birth something new. And God is heating things up in this house. You can feel it. You can feel it in the atmosphere as we come together and pray and worship. And so I see the statement in Isaiah 43 as an invitation to perceive it, to perceive what God is doing. You see, David saw how God had moved in the past, giving him victory over the lion and the bear. And he perceived that God was going to do something again by taking down Goliath. His brother Eliab, however, did not perceive what God was about to do. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Are you a David or an Eliab? Yeah. Wow. See, when I look at the story of David and Goliath, one of the main people that stands out to me every single time is Eliab. As I said before, Eliab did not perceive the new thing God was doing. He saw David as his little brother. And sometimes it can be hard to see your younger siblings as grown-ups. My sister recently got married. Now, she's 30. I was 23 when I got married. So it should be very, you know, okay that she's getting married. But it seems so bizarre to me that the little girl I remember putting rocks in my pillow, true story, was about to become somebody else's wife.
Yeah, wow.
I think possibly Eliab had the same problem. He saw David as this little brother, possibly annoying, possibly too eager, and in his mind, definitely not ready for battle.
Yeah, wow.
He did not perceive what God had been doing in the fields as David tended the sheep. He did not perceive the strength of faith that God had built in David through those battles.
Wow.
He did not see the new thing that God was doing in his brother or in Israel. And as a result, Eliab cut him down. He called him conceited and wicked. That's not what he was. He was stirred. He was faith-filled. He was ready to go. But Eliab couldn't perceive that.
Right.
Who here has heard of tall poppy syndrome?
Yeah.
So it's actually quite sad, but it's a social culture that's particularly prevalent in our nation,
yeah,
whereby people are resented, mocked, put down, or criticized for their success, merit, and ambition. And we absolutely see this at play in the story.
Yeah.
Eliab sees David's ambition and puts him down, pulls him down, back down to his level.
Yeah.
But that is not God's heart for the generations. At the moment, our memory verse in Kids Church is Psalm 145, verses 3-4. And it says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends his works to another. They tell of your mighty acts." I'm resisting the urge to try and rap it to you as we do in Kids Church. No, that's Pastor Shannon's MO. You can catch it on YouTube. But this psalm is beautiful. It speaks over and over about the glory of God, his greatness that no one can fathom. And then it talks about the generations. They commend his works to one another. You see, this passage echoes God's heart for the generations to encourage, to stir faith, to magnify the greatness of God. Notice that in this version, it doesn't say one generation commends your works to the next. That really stood out to me because I believe that God's heart for this house particularly is that all generations come together and commend the works of God to each other. I know I'm inspired when I hear our kids talk about the visions of God that they see. I'm inspired when I see our young people come back from youth conference or camp talking about being set free from the things that are oppressing them. And so I believe we as adults can actually glean from the next generation, but we're also called to invest into them. Sadly, though, I think as the church in general, we can sometimes be found to do what Eliab was doing. We can often see someone full of confidence, with big, bold ideas, and feel the need to shut them down. You see, David's make Eliab's very uncomfortable. David's are full of faith, trusting in God where they lack in themselves, and passionate about seeing the kingdom advance. But Eliab's, on the other hand, they've become content with the status quo.
Yeah.
They are possibly fearful, quite possibly apathetic in their own pursuit of Jesus, and often disillusioned with the promises God may have once spoken over their lives. When an Eliab encounters David, their comfort is challenged by David's faith. I think that God will often send us our own Davids to inspire us to dream again, to drink from God's word, to lean into who God is rather than what our situation says, and to remember the promises he has spoken over our lives. You see, as Davids come into our world, we actually have a choice. We have a choice to lean in, just like Eliab did. David said, "I want to get this Philistine." Eliab could have been like, "I've got your back. I've got your back, brother. Let's go." But instead he was like, "Oh, you're so conceited and wicked." We have that choice too. We can choose to lean in and go, "You know what? I'm going to be praying with you. I'm going to be believing in you. Let me share my testimony. Let's go and do this together." or you have the choice to act like Eliab did and pull down. And you see, the thing is, David was always going to defeat Goliath.
Yeah.
But Eliab missed out on being part of that victory because he didn't get behind the vision that David had.
Yeah. Great.
I'd actually like to share a little brag on some people in our congregation who I think are excellent examples of what it means to lift up others, to lift up the next generation. Pastor Steve and Jackie are sitting here on my left, and they are phenomenal, a phenomenal man and woman of God with their own very vast ministry experience. And for me, when I stepped into this kids role, my ministry experience was not very vast. And they, without even needing to be asked or anything, really came alongside me and championed me. They saw every opportunity. Seriously, I would stand at that check-in desk and every Sunday they would stop, they would check in on how kids is going, and they would just speak life into me. They committed to praying for our kids' ministry. They resourced me. I have several books from Pastor Steve aimed to equip me to do what God has put in my hand. And do you know what? They even came and spent a lunchtime encouraging our junior volunteers, sharing the testimonies of how God had moved in their life, which built so much faith in the next generation to be able to see God move in their lives too.
Yeah.
We love you, Pastor Steve and Jackie.
Yeah.
But you know what, guys? They are just two people who are obedient and faithful to God.
Yeah.
You can all be Steve's and Jackie's,
yeah.
Not just for kids ministry, but for people, for those coming up alongside you, for your children, for your nieces and nephews, for the young adult who walks in here and is just working out their journey with God. You guys all have something to give. If you have a testimony of God moving in your life, you can be a Steve and Jackie too. You see, that's what it looks like for one generation to commend God's works to another. It looks like calling people up, lifting them up into what God has called them to, and doing it unified.
Yeah,
now, we finished our story with David and Goliath, where Saul released David into battle. But let's check out what happens next. You can find this in 1 Samuel 17 from verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. My second point today is you are not called to wear somebody else's armor. You know, one of the coolest things about Saul's armor versus David's slingshot is they actually represent the testimonies of what God has done for them. They saw them have victory in different battles. You have a testimony too. And our testimonies are powerful to equip us when we are stepping into something new. Your testimony is not just about how you met Jesus, but about every time he has worked in you and moved faithfully for you since. So often we can get caught up in comparison, but let me tell you, comparison is a thief. Let me say it again. Comparison is a thief. It doesn't add anything to your walk with God. In fact, it takes away. It draws your attention away from him and onto other people, onto the lack, onto what you don't have. I recall one day I was scrolling through good old social media, guilty as charged, and I saw this post come up and it had an ice cream on it. And it said, I think it's going to be behind me in a second. And it said, "Don't let your ice cream melt while counting someone else's sprinkles." I don't think I've ever felt so convicted from an Instagram post before. I love ice cream and I would be so sad if mine melted. But how often are we so focused on someone else's sprinkles that we tend to forget what we've got in our hands?
Yeah, wow.
See, to get real with you for a sec, for me, comparison is something I've really struggled with. I would compare my personal testimony with others. I didn't have this radical conversion testimony. I was a bit of a nerd in high school who was maybe a little bit insecure, and then I met Jesus and he took me on a very slow journey forward. It wasn't this like, oh my goodness, you know, I was a drug addict and God set me free. That was not my story. And so I would look at these amazing testimonies of preachers that would come through, or even friends of mine. I'd be like, well, that's cool. God's done something significant in your life. What do I have to offer? How can I evangelize with what God's done in my life? Yeah, or I would compare what God had put in my hand. Instead of stewarding it well, I would pine for somebody else's portion. I would look at the gifts and talents of those around me, and rather than asking God how he would want to use me, I would spend my prayer time asking him why I wasn't like them. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you have found yourself so focused on the blessings, the opportunities, the giftings of others, that you forget to focus on the one who made it all. Maybe you've been awkwardly walking around in somebody else's armor when God has equipped you with stones and a slingshot of your own. It's time to take off Saul's armor. It's time to pick up your stones, pick up your slingshot, and go forth with what God has put on your life, your anointing, your gifting, your testimony of his goodness. God himself has given us all we need to step into the something new. You know, I bet people around probably would have felt much more comfortable if David had walked out in a full suit of armor. It would have seemed appropriate, right? Yeah. Like, I know if my son was like, Mom, I'm going to battle and I've got a slingshot, I would strongly urge him to reconsider his choices. I would be a little bit concerned that he was not equipped. Yeah. But that's what we can be like too, can't we? We can go, ooh, are you sure? I mean, that's a big faith step. Dan and I'm going off script for a second, but we had that. We felt God tell us to move here to Perth, and praise God we listened, but we literally sat in a meeting and we heard somebody say, are you sure? Are you sure God spoke to you? And we're like, I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm not, because I think that's what faith is, but but we're going with it anyway. And those moments rock you. When you're trying to take a faith step, having someone go, nah, I don't think so, rather than going, hey, let's pray together about it. Let's both seek God, because wisdom is good. Wisdom is good, but lack of faith is not.
Yeah, that's right.
So what we do then in those situations is we actually come alongside. All right, David, you want to take your slingshot? Let me pray with you that God's going to go with you. Let me equip you. Let me send some men alongside you. So we don't stop what God wants to do, but we equip, we empower, and we build with faith. All right, where are we up to? Oh, gee. Okay, so do you know, we're going to see what happens to Saul, because Saul didn't do that. He didn't equip and build with faith. He took what David had and he didn't react very well. You see, after the whole David and Goliath thing, David went forward. He stepped into new things, because that's what happens, you know? You build faith, you go into what's next. And so he went into all these battles and he was super victorious, and everyone loved it. I can't find my passage. Oh, here it is. 1 Samuel 18:5 says, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. And this pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. But when David started getting recognition, Saul couldn't handle it. He fell into comparison. He felt threatened. He felt jealous. He actually became afraid of David. So rather than championing him, he sought to take him down. 1 Samuel 18 tells us that the Lord was with David, but he had departed from Saul. This is the fruit of pride, comparison, and insecurity coming to light. This is the opposite of God's heart for the generations. Don't be like Saul. Don't let comparison, jealousy, and insecurity go unchecked. allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in you, to cast your eyes back to your Creator, to remind you of His plans for you, His purposes for you. He has called you to be part of the new thing He wants to do. But comparison, jealousy, and insecurity can rob you of that. So do not hold on to it. Let the Holy Spirit take it from you.
Yeah, come on.
Band, you can join me. You see, today we've looked at whether people run to the new thing or whether we oppose it. We've been reminded not to let comparison rob the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We've remembered that God can even use those who appear unqualified. But I want to ask you today, what about you? I shared earlier Isaiah 43:19. It says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland."
Yeah.
My final point today is, are you ready for your David moment?
Wow.
See, God is always at work. Just like the song Waymaker says, He never stops working. But the question is, not only do we perceive it, but are we ready to be part of it? David developed intimacy with God in the fields long before there was any Goliath present. In fact, the only way he got to the battlefield was as a servant, bringing bread and cheese. Church, I want to encourage you that God is preparing you right where you're at to step into your new thing. David was the youngest of eight, the one left tending the sheep. Yet what God did in his heart, in the hidden place, allowed him to step into the public place. You might be feeling quite hidden. You might even be listening to this message today, and as you sit there, you're discounting yourself, thinking, I'm not the next generation. My time, my opportunity, it's past. I'm going to get cranky with you if that's you, because that is absolute nonsense. That's not how the kingdom of God works. Our time doesn't pass until God calls us home. Look at Abraham, the father of faith, did not become a father until past 100. You've still got plenty of time. You know, you might be in the trenches of raising young kids right now, or maybe you're building your career or finishing your studies. Can I encourage you that just as God was with David in the fields, He's with you in your field too? What He is growing in you, teaching you, showing you there, has the power to propel you into the something new when it is stewarded with an open heart. But the question remains, are you ready for your David moment? Are you ready to respond to His call, to lean your faith in Him and step into the new thing? 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the church as the body of Christ. And when one part doesn't do its part, the whole body suffers. We all have a part to play. We are the body of Christ. We all have a part to play in seeing God do a new thing in Nations Church, Port Kennedy. We all have a part to play in seeing God move across our nations. We all have a part to play in seeing God move in our families, in our own lives, in our communities, in our workplaces. But do we have the boldness of David to step into it? Do we have humility to come alongside other generations and lift their arms up as they step into what God has called them to? Do we have the security in Jesus to be excited for how God moves in our brothers and sisters, rather than being jealous or insecure?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.